Blog Talk Radio.
Of your grace, you have reached.
dungeon.
Amen, and welcome to the show. Welcome to Prophetic Grace Network. We're excited to be here. We're glad that you are here too. And this is a place that we don't just talk about it. We are about it. And God is really moving in the realm of the prophetic. And it is a blessing that you are plugged into the prophetic realm. We talked about that last week, how I don't know about you, but for myself, the prophetic has really, really enhanced my life and has just been a complete blessing to me. Really don't know where I would be mentally if it wasn't for the prophetic realm. And for myself personally, God has really been increasing the gift of prophecy in me for my personal life. Because as most prophetic people know, a lot of the times you'll be accurate and on point with other people's lives, and then your own life is like, kind of like, don't know what's going on. Where God is speaking to you, God is giving you comfort, reassurance, he's loving on you, he's giving you wisdom, he's giving you insight, but you don't, it's not as clear for you as it is for other people, but that's where the trust comes in. but for myself, God has been using my prophecy gift in the realm of the dream realm, and I've always been the type of person, I'm a dreamer. I dream every night. And I didn't know until several years ago that most people don't dream every night. Like, it's been so normal to me since childhood that I thought everybody dreamed every night. But I dream every night, and I tend to remember them as soon as I wake up. But I'm to the in the age and stage where I know where it's a pizza dream or a prophetic dream. And God has really been giving me a lot of prophetic dreams, and I'm starting to see some of them already come to pass. Just some that I had this week come to pass this week. And this week is, it's only Wednesday. So it just gives me more confident reassurance in God and his word, not only the written word, but his spoken word and the things that he has told me personally, the things that he's told other people about me. It gives me more confidence and it makes me very hopeful for the future. Despite things that are currently going on that I don't like, but you know, the prophetic really helps you to look past the right now. You can enjoy the right now because you should never be ahead, right? You should be right now, today, you know, which is why when God gave the children of Israel manna, he gave them just enough for today so that they weren't focused on tomorrow or next week or a month after. They had just enough for today. And we have to focus on today. You know, we can't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come for some of us. Tomorrow the Lord can come back, you know. So we just focus on today and be grateful that we're in this day because God saw us fit to be in it. But the prophetic realm will give you that hope so that you're not fearful of tomorrow. You know, some people are like that. You know, they might have, I remember being like that. I remember a time, I've told you guys this story a million times, and I'm going to keep telling it because you never know when you have new people listening. But I remember when I didn't have rent money as a single mom of four, and I didn't have a job. So that's kind of a bad combo, right? You need rent money, you ain't got no job. And I did not know how I was going to pay my rent. And so the property manager was really nice. She liked me, but unfortunately for me, she didn't own the property, right? She was the property manager. And so she kept calling me to see what was going on, to see if I had gotten the money. And she tried to extend the time as much as she could to try to give me a break. But she let me know that if I don't have the money in hand by this date, plus late fees and, you know, all that stuff, then I'm going to have to start the eviction process, which was really scary for me. So I was fearing the next day, but God ended up coming through. And when I found out that he came through and I had the money in the account, when I found out the money had already been sitting there for a few days. So here I was fearful about a next day when the money had been sitting there for like 3 days. And so that's how the prophetic realm is. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen next week. Maybe some of you, your jobs are talking about layoffs. I'm starting to see a lot of talks about layoffs. Like even today they announced that I guess Bed Bath & Beyond is about to close a bunch of their stores and do some layoffs. And we're hearing more and more about layoffs, and that's making people fearful because it's not just retailers, it's, you know, tech companies and all these different places. And maybe you're afraid of that, but you don't have to be afraid of that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, because God is taking care of you in the right now. He's going to take care of your needs for today, and then tomorrow he's going to take care of your needs tomorrow. And so sometimes we think we know what we need. Terrence and I were talking about that earlier, but who really knows what they need? How do you know what you need if you didn't create you? Right? You're living as you, right? But you did not create you. And just like anything else in the earth, you can, you know, let's say you go buy a new car. You have to know what type of gasoline it needs. You might assume, oh, it's going to take this, and it might take a whole different grade of gas. You might put some gas in that car, tear the whole car up, because you assumed you knew what it needs, but you got to go to the manufacturer. They let you know what it needs to maintain it, to ensure that it's in optimum condition, to make sure that you can, you know, drive it until the wheels fall off. The creator knows what it needs. Because there might be little tiny things that it needs that you've never dealt with before. You didn't know nothing about. You might not have even heard of it before. And we're no different. We are no different. God has created each and every one of us. And so he knows what we need as individuals, right? He knows what we need as members of society that's dealing with different, you know, groups, whether it be working groups or your church or whatever. You know, he knows what you need if you're married, as a spouse, as a parent, as a friend, all that. He knows what you need. And just trust him day by day. Take it day by day, one day at a time. One day. Don't get ahead of yourself. But one thing that will help you, in my opinion, is the prophetic realm. Because the prophetic realm lets you know what's going to happen, where you're not stressed out, where you're like, oh, God has already said he's going to do X, Y, Z. You know, that's why for myself, the state of the world doesn't stress me, even though I absolutely despise it, because God has been preparing me for it since I became a believer. He's been preparing that. And he told me, you know, I was built for the end times. Never heard of that phrase, didn't know what that meant, none of that. You know, I'm a baby in Christ, I'm 20-something years old, and did not know what that meant. And God would always take me to scripture in my private time to teach me about how the end times was going to be. And it did not sound fun. You know, it is what we're seeing. How this world is just getting worse and worse. It's rotten, and it's like we're in like the real stinky, slimy part of the rot. And what keeps me, you know, level-headed and not so disappointed and not cause my heart to fail me about the things that I see with people and all that kind of stuff, is that God has already prepared me. The prophetic already let me know what it's going to be, so that I'm not startled. I'm not shocked. I know that I'm built for it, because the Lord told me that he was going to use me in the end, that's the reason why I was born, right? I didn't like drop off the stork's back and somehow ended up here. Now God's got to make it work. No, I was put here for this time, because I can handle the end, because whatever's in me is needed for God's people in these times. Mm-hmm. And so allow the prophetic to comfort you, so that you're not stressing, you're not anxious, you're not worried. Don't worry about nothing, whether it be, you know, a medical report you got. You know, I remember being scared about, you know, a day coming. My doctor found some stuff and wanted me to go to a specialist to get some imaging done. And I was terrified of that day, even though I felt like in my spirit, God was telling me it was going to be okay. But I was a baby in Christ, and I wasn't quite sure at that time when I was hearing God's voice or if I was self-encouraging. Like, it was very confusing for me. I didn't quite know. But that day came, and the tumors were gone, to the point where the imaging doctor pulled my chart to see who my primary doctor who referred me, because he was like, some quack must have sent you here, when my doctor was one of the top doctors in the city. So when he saw that, he was like, oh, surely he didn't make a mistake. And I'm like, no, he had me to feel them. And he's like, well, I don't know what happened, but they're gone. So if I would have known that what God was telling me was prophetic, I could have trusted that and not been stressed out and worried and scared. And not to say that if you're, you know, stressed out, worried, or scared, that's excuse me, a natural human reaction, but we can go above and beyond our humanity, right? Just like how Peter walked on water, we can walk on the prophetic. Even though everything is crashing, even though our emotions are crashing all around us, right? Sometimes our emotions feel like a storm, and we could walk on the water of those storms. But I'm glad that you're plugged in to the prophetic realm. I'm glad that you are part of this network, because it takes a lot of people. It just takes faithful people to keep it going. And I love being part of this network because God is just allowed to freely flow. I've been blessed tremendously. I've grown tremendously in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and my gift has grown. And I pray those things for each and every person that listens, whether you call in and put your hand up, or you just listen in, or you tune in from a computer, or you listen from a podcast, no matter how you're listening. I just pray that your gift grows, whatever gift you have, because a gift is just that. You know, we get excited when we get gifts in the natural. We're like, yay, it's a gift, something that's going to, you know, something that's going to add to us somehow, even if it's just adding to our jewelry collection. But we're always excited about gifts, and we should be excited even about our spiritual gifts. And I pray each and every one of you grow in your spiritual gift and use it for the benefit of God's people, for the edification of the body of Christ. And I pray that your relationship with God continues to grow, because like the song said that we just played, that I absolutely love, as a lot of you know who tune in every week, Father is all we need. Father God, that's all we need. You don't need nothing else. You got God, you got it all. You know, the world is going to try to teach you what you need. Oh, you want this, you need this. You want that, you need this. No. Father God is all we need. That's it. You got him, you can step on serpent's heads and walk on water, and you can be defiant to the kings. I ain't bowing down. You could be thrown in the pit. You could be thrown in the lion's den. You could be thrown in the furnace three times hotter. You can overcome. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because people say, I ain't got the strength. You don't need the strength. It ain't your strength that's going to do it. It's Christ's strength. So you got God, weapons that form against you, they're not going to prosper. They're not going to prosper. The people that's coming against you and you doing good and you tired of doing good. I get it. You tired of turning that cheek. And doing good to people who despitefully use you. Woo! There's this levels to being used. To be despitefully used, this is some deep using. Mm-hmm. It is doing you all the way dirt. And I know you tired of it, but guess what the Lord going to do? He going to pull up a table right in front of them folk. Because when you got God, you got it all. And not only that, the word of God promises that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it doesn't matter what is done, what has happened, what will happen, what mistakes you made, what victories, what losses, whatever, none of that. It don't matter. It's all working for your good. Because guess what? For some people, it's not going to work for their good because they don't love God and they're not called according to his purpose. So things are just going to happen and it's not going to work out for them. It's just going to be all bad. It's going to be in vain. They did all that for what? Just to lose and stay losing and be miserable and pitiful. But that's not your life. That's not your story. It's all going to work for good because sometimes it looks like you down for the count. Terrence and I have experienced that where it looked like we was out of there. But God. And we held on to the promises of God, even when we like, really? Because sometimes you will have those days. You'll say, really? Some days you'll cry, right? Because serving God and living life, sometimes it's not easy. But you're able to do it because you have the strength of the Lord. But God always came through. God always worked it out every time. I can't say that there's been one experience in my life, even my life pre-Christ, that God has not worked in and worked out for my good. Even before I knew who he was, even before I knew that he existed, even when I was, you know, just knew something was there, didn't know what to call it, didn't know nothing, wasn't going to nobody church, reading no good books, no Bible, no nothing. So it's not like the things are only going to work out for good starting at the time that you said the sinner's prayer and gave your heart to Christ. No, he's going to make all of it work out for good. From the time you breathe your first breath into this earth until you take your last one, unless you rapture. Now, I pray for the latter. All of it's going to work for your good. Even your past, no matter how ugly and jacked up, horrible, he's going to make it all work for your good. So just be grateful for God tonight. Be thankful for him, for all that he's done and all that he's doing. He's a good God. Don't be thankful for what he's just done for you, but be thankful for who he is. Because we are some really messed up individuals. People are really messed up. I see that more and more every day. I'm like, man, people are messed up, me included. And God is still good. The fact that he hasn't just lit the whole earth on fire shows that he's a good God, because this earth is out of control. I see more and more stories. It's horrifying every day. But I just pray and try not to let it bother me too much. But I'd be like, I'd be having my conversations like, God, you better than me, because if I was on that throne, I'd flood the earth again or just burn it up or whatever, because, man, these people are out of control. They be playing with your name, and they think that, you know, that they think they that you can be mocked. They are deceived. You need to show them. You need to show them don't be deceived, that you ain't going to be mocked, so they're going to reap what they sow. Because if people really believe that, that alone would make the world a whole better place. If people really genuinely believed that they reap what they sow. Body of Christ included. I'm not talking about just the world. Because I see people in the body of Christ that is be doing some messed up things too. Foolishness. Living like there ain't no God. Like they are not going to reap what they sow. And then when the harvest comes knocking at their door, they're sitting there with their hands over their mouth and just in complete utter shock. And I'm like, well, in shock for what? Did thou not know it that you shall reap what you sow? So you thought that scripture was a joke? You thought somebody just tuck that in and was just playing? That's the truth. If people just believed that and lived accordingly, our world would be a much better place. But alas, we live in the world that we live in, and having that relationship with God and knowing that these things have been prophesied have been helpful to me. And so how much more does personal prophecy help me? And how much more will personal prophecy help you? Because God doesn't lie. If he said it, that's just what it is. Because sometimes God will give you a warning, right? But when he says what it is, that's just what it is. Somebody prophesy and the prophecy be true, you're powerless to do anything about it. Because God has already said this is what's going to happen. Just like I'm pretty sure people and you know, when times were kinder, people could leave their doors unlocked and all that kind of stuff, they would have never guessed that the world would be the way that it is now. But because the prophecy was true, there was no way to stop it. And understand that about your life. I want you to think of all the prophecies that God has given you and know that nobody could stop it. I don't care if they lie on your name. I don't care if they remove you from somebody's will. I don't care if they gave you a bad report. I don't care if they took your job. I don't care if they snatched your car in the middle of the night. If your kid told you that they hate you, it doesn't matter. Because when God says it, nobody has the power to stop it. And you can feed on that. This is what it is. It ain't what it look like right now, but let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has already spoken. Heaven has already proclaimed it, and I'm just waiting on it to match. I'm waiting on earth to mimic what's already taking place in heaven concerning my situation. So I'm just going to focus on today. I ain't focused on them folk. I ain't focused on them demons. them demons could go right back to the gates of hell where they came from because they don't have no power. See, the devil, he ramping up because his time is really short. But you don't have to fear the devil. Let's recognize your enemy. Identify him. And you hold on to God's word. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. I see so many believers get caught up in worldly things. Don't allow yourself to get caught up. Be in it, not of it. Don't get caught up. Keep your focus on the Lord. And let the world do what they do. The world is like a ticking time bomb. It's going to blow up. No good is going to come to the world. But God loves the world so much so that he sent his son to save the world. So we just do our part, one person at a time, one divine appointment at a time, and we be living epistles. Don't be afraid to stand up for God. Don't be afraid to speak the truth, because we're living in a world where they want to make the truth a bad thing. It's like the word of God said. They want to make what's bad good and what's good bad. You know, reading that, even as a baby in Christ, I'm like, how could they do that? Because how do you make something good bad? Like, that don't even make sense, because everybody knows this good is good. But here we are. Here we are. I see it now. I'm like, oh, that's what you were talking about in that word. Got them itchy ears. They be so quick to run and hear lies, be knowing it's a lie, but then use it to justify bad behavior. Just crazy times we're living in, but just want you to be encouraged tonight that, again, you got God, you got it all. That's all you need. Because then he gonna supply what you need in every single area of your life, and God does not lie. So you might say, well, but I need this. Well, if you don't got it, you don't need it. Not at least to that. You might need it, but maybe you'll need it next Thursday. Because if you needed it today, you'd have it today. Because he's going to provide all of your needs, not just your wants. And trust him for each day. Take it one day at a time. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get ahead of the day. It's okay to plan. I know some people who are major planners, right? It's okay to plan. If that's your thing, you like to plan. But it's okay to make plans, but then still live in today. Don't always be in next week or next month or 2 months from now or next quarter. Be in today and enjoy today and be grateful and thankful for today and find the beauty of today. Find something today to be thankful for, and then tomorrow, find something tomorrow to be thankful for. But we got to do our part so that we are operating in the peace that surpasses understanding. Because the things that God trains us and teaches us in his word is how we help to usher that in. And one of the things is not worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow got its own problems. That's what the word says. So we're not going to take on today what needs to be dealt with tomorrow. So let's do a collective prayer, and then let's start answering callers. Heavenly Father, we've come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for who you are. Thank you for seeing us fit to be in this day. We love and we honor you, Father God, and we trust you. We thank you for the prophetic, Father God. We trust your word to be true. We know that you're not like man, that you should lie, that you speak it, and so it is. And we thank you, Father God, that all things are working together for our good, because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. And we thank you, Lord, that we can count on you. We can hang our hat on you, that there's so many uncertainties in this world today. But you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're steady true. You don't change. You don't switch up. You don't follow trends. You are who you are. It's like you told Moses, I am that I am. And you're still the great I am. And we love you and thank you, Father God. And Lord, help Terrence and I decrease as you increase and speak to your people, Lord, and give them what they need. Give them their manna for today. Give them encouragement, Father God, and hope. Help them to increase in faith, Lord Jesus, and help them to see the beauty of each day and the gift of each day. And help them to understand, Father God, that you saw them fit to be in this day and every day that they would be in. That you have qualified them, that you say that they are enough. Help them to bask in your love and to understand what it means to really be loved by you. Not the love of people who love you today and hate you tomorrow, but the love of you who loves us despite us. There's nothing we can do to make you love us more. There's nothing that we can do to make you love us less. You love us with the perfect love, and that love is always rooting for us and desiring for us to transform more into your image and to be better and better and to go from glory to glory. And we just thank you for that. So, Lord, we just love and we honor you, and we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm going to have Terrence pray over that. What we're going to do is alternate because there's a lot of you with your hand up. So we're going to alternate. So I'm going to have Terrence pray for the first caller here, 903-918. Who are we speaking with?
This is Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Fine. How are y'all?
Great. Great. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for Michelle tonight, Father God. We thank you for we thank you for the anointing. God has anointed you to do what he's called you to do. Being anointed to do something, you've been equipped in. God has given you access. He's granted you access and authority in that he's gifted you to do through the anointing. Because the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing it's like the flavor of a great dish. And special sauce. You have the special sauce. You are anointed to do what God has called you to do. If you and when a person is anointed to do something, you know, fear tries to settle in and tell us we don't know enough, we ain't ready, wait a while, give it a minute. Ask God again, are you sure? I'm waiting on God. I want to make sure that I'm doing it right. You know, and a lot of times what that does, that comes in and it suppresses your anointing. That's what the enemy tries to do. He comes in and he tries to suppress your will. Your will to just do what God says to. Because he starts to try to have us thinking about our own abilities and what we're able to do, what I can do, what I haven't done before, what I need to do. I need to go do this class. I'm going to need this. I'm going to need that. You know, we always be trying to, when God tells us to do something, we always try to find ways to help him. Okay, Lord, you say go here. Okay, so I'm going to get this. I need this. But he ain't telling you to do all of that. He's anointed you to be who you are, and he's anointed you to walk in what he's called you to do. And that's all you need. That's all you need. That's all I have for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you mute her?
She's still unmuted. Michelle, you still there? Maybe she muted herself. All right, well, we love you. We're going to get to our next caller here. 202-722, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Nicole from D.C.
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for taking my call and ministering to me and us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Let's pray for you personally, hear what the Lord has to say. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Nicole. We thank you for being bold, for Nicole being bold and brazen. Brazen, that's the word that's sticking out. Let's look up that word. I love boldness. I consider myself a bold person, but brazen kicks it up a whole nother. Oh, I like that. Bold and brazen. Shameless boldness. Ooh, look at this. Marked by shameless or disrespectful boldness. You know, sometimes people say you do something or say something that's not lining up to their beliefs, and they'll say it's disrespectful. But it don't really be disrespectful. It'll just be the world's definition. To face with defiance. Brazen. Ooh, I like that. What's the synonyms to it? Let's see. Synonyms are brave, confront, dare, defy, face. Outface, outbrave, audacious, nervy. I don't think I've ever heard that word, nervy. I'm trying to use that. Sassy, softy, wise, bold-faced. But that's what I'm seeing, Nicole. That you're going to be bold and brazen in the promises of God. Like if God said it, you're just going to be bold with it and brazen. Like, no, God told me this, so this is what it is, period. And I don't care what your paperwork shows or, you know, whatever your process is, how you normally do things. You're not going to do that no more. I am here to basically eradicate the normalcy because God is about to do this for me, and you're going to watch and see how he sits there and does it for me, like bold and brazen in the promises of God, because God is about to do that. He's going to show the world that the world, there's nothing that they can do to stop God. You know, it's kind of like when they were trying to build that little tower to Babel, and he had to, you know, mess up the languages and all that he can do what he wants. That you can't be the create it and think that you are bigger than the creator. And a lot of people think that. They think that whatever they got in place, their money or their status, they really think that they can beat God. And God is going to show them that they can't, and that they can't mess with his people. Because if he wants it done, it's going to get done, period, despite whatever, you know, mechanisms or walls or whatever they have in place. It's like a person trying to keep information from God, and they put all these firewalls up on a computer, like God can't get past the firewall. God don't need the computer. All he got to do is hack into your brain and know what's going on. All he got to do is hack into your heart and see what's going on. He don't need to see what's in the computer. But that's how ridiculous it is. People, it's like somebody trying to keep some information from God by putting it in a computer with a whole bunch of firewalls when he has access to the heart of man. Well, he can see the thoughts of man. But you're going to come in bold and brazen to show them, I don't care what kind of firewalls or, you know, say guidelines, whatever you got in place, if God says this is for me, it's for me, period. Bold and brazen. Lord, we just thank you for Nicole, Father God. We thank you for her being bold and brazen. We thank you, Lord, for her holding on to your promises and knowing them to be true. Knowing them to be the truth and walking in the truth. Because when we know the truth makes us free. A lot of times we're in bondage. When people think bondage, they think it of only one way. We could be in bondage in areas of our life. We could be free in one area and in bondage in another area. And we thank you, Father God, for the freedom that her walking in the truth of your word and walking in the truth of the promises that you have for her so that she is free in those areas of her life. There's no shackles. There's no holding back. There's nothing that's preventing her from doing anything. And we thank you, Father God, that she knows that her steps are ordered by you and that she boldly takes each step, knowing that you're with her and that you'll never leave nor forsake her. And that some of the stuff that you're going to have her do is things that are new, that some of the paths are new paths that other people have not walked in before. But give her the bold and brazenness to walk down those paths, to create those paths, to be a trailblazer We thank you for it. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, I felt that in my soul.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-mm-mm. Ooh, that was good.
Thank you, Lord. I received it.
And I literally saw you walking and there was no path. It's kind of like where we live, there's a lot of new construction going on. So it was like land, and then next thing you know, they're like paths being built and foundations and all this. So what never was is now. And that's what I saw with you. Like I saw you walking and there was no path, but then as you, each step you took, it's like a new stone was put before you to walk. And so you're like creating the path with God. So
Amen.
It's one thing when you follow a path that somebody else has taken, and it's another thing when you are the path paver, when God uses you to pave a path. It takes a lot of faith in God because you're like, okay, there's nothing here. I don't see I see no way. And you're correct. You don't see a way because there's not a way yet. Because sometimes it feels like that, where God is telling you to do something and you don't see no way. You're like, I'm in the middle of the desert, Lord. There ain't no way. And you're literally not lying. There is no way. Use you, create the way. So sometimes we feel like, dang, is my faith draining? I don't got enough faith. Do I not trust God? Because I don't see it. You're right. You don't see it because it don't exist yet. But it will. And so that's the mentality you have to have. It will exist. Even if it doesn't exist now, it will. Because God said it. So when it looks like there's no way, you don't feel like, you know, it doesn't cause you to feel down like, okay, maybe I took a misstep or maybe I got it wrong, where you're like, okay, there's no way. Okay, Lord, so surely you're going to build the way. Because there ain't nothing here. I didn't check my map and my coordinates are correct and I'm where you told me to go. And there's nothing. So I'm just going to wait for you to tell me where to set my foot and wait to see that path being built. But then others can follow the path. So that takes a lot of bold and brazenness to trailblaze and to create paths. But it takes a lot of trust in God, and it means that God has a lot of trust in you. Because everybody doesn't trailblaze. You know, we read the word of God, those men and women, they were the trailblazers. They was creating something that they didn't have before, that they had a hand in it. You know, Paul was going by, you know, the Torah and the Old Testament and all that. He didn't have the New Testament to read. He was living it. He was creating it. He was helping to create it, rather, because he didn't write the whole New Testament, but he wrote a lot of it. Him and his scribe Tertius. But think of all the teachers that we have of Paul, that we came after him, that we draw inspiration, we draw faith, we draw encouragement from, that he did not have. He had to live it and trailblaze it and write it, or have Tertius write it. So that's the type of stuff you're going to be doing, so that others after you have it. And
Amen.
Look at how Paul was a very brazen individual. He was not weak. He was not timid. He was not scary. He was not fearful. He was a bold and brazen individual. And because of his boldness and his brazen ways, we have a lot of New Testament that we read and that we feed on every day because he was bold enough to just do it. So that's going to be you, creating the path. So again, if you get somewhere and you're like, okay, I've reached a dead-end street, you're right. But God could be the stick of dynamite that blows the wall out. Or God will give you the cement to make that street continue to go. That's what a trailblazer does. They create the trails. So I thank God for that. I thank God for your life, because that's a big call.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have anything in particular you want prayer for?
I would like prayer for my mom. Her name is Alice, and she's believing for a godly husband.
Okay.
And also prayer about her home and paperwork and documents related to legal stuff related to her home.
Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Alice, Lord. We thank you for the godly, equally yoked man that you have for her life, Father God. We thank you that you're going to give her the desires of her heart. Give her discernment, Lord, to be able to identify those who are about it and those who are not. But some people will talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So help her to see that, not get caught up with the talk. Some people get caught up, well, he said this and he said that, but the steps don't match. The steps ain't adding to the talk. So help her to identify that so that she can easily weed out an imposter. The enemy's always trying to send an imposter to try to mimic the real deal. But we thank you, Lord, that she has the discernment and the wisdom to be able to identify the real from the fake. And, Lord, we thank you for the paperwork, the legalities, Lord, that you would send people who hear your voice, who serve you, to straighten all of that out. That even if what they're doing is against protocol or process, that they're doing what needs to be done by your direction. And so we just thank you, Lord, that you're getting things correct. That even if they've been wrong for a very long time, that you're going to send people who's going to make it right. And we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, Nicole, we thank you for calling in tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank you for ministering to me and for the word of the Lord. I receive it, and I'm so grateful for you and Terrence. I love listening to you guys, and I praise God for you and your ministry here at PGN. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that, Nicole. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Have a good night.
Okay.
Great. Awesome. All right. Next caller here, 225-454. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, I'm Karen from Louisiana.
Hey, Karen. How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Great, great.
I'm great.
That's bright. That nose is stopping up. Lord, we thank you for caring tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the push. I just see like you being pushed to just go like the extra mile, to take the extra step that you need. Some of us don't like to be pushed. I mean, it's on how you push me. You know, but pushing someone will help get them in a place of seeing things that they've never seen before, and accomplishing things that they've never accomplished before. You know, God, we're living a life that we've never lived before, but Jesus has. Jesus has live the perfect life. And us as believers, we're here to adopt the behavior. We're here to adopt the lifestyle, to take on the life of Christ and live our lives to the best we can like Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take him, his spirit, to help us do it, because we can't do it ourselves. So the Holy Spirit is there. You know, the Holy Spirit is you know, teach us all truth, lead us into everything that we need to know. So that's the push. that's needed to get us to see things that we've never seen and to do things that we've never done. That's the push. And so we just thank God for the push. We just thank God for you receiving that push and just walking in obedience based on what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, regardless if you ain't never heard it before or haven't done it. Or somebody else hadn't done this or hadn't done that. Just trust what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And just allow the Spirit of God to push you into the place that you need to be in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Take that push.
Amen, amen. Glory.
Wow. That's good. You got anything you want to pray for in particular?
Yeah, sure. You can pray for me and my husband both as we recover from surgeries that we had. And mm-hmm. then also pray for that push, you know, especially in the business arena. I have things that I've been doing, and I've just been praying, God, show me the way how to really make business things thrive and be successful at it, and for those businesses to be profitable. So that's what me and my husband are praying for.
Okay. All right. Well, we just thank you again for caring tonight, Father God. We thank you for healing. Lord, we thank you for a supernatural recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I just see you recovering in not just the physical realm, but recovering in even in the spiritual realm. God is restoring things, not to its former, but restoring it to a better former. Restoring it better, you know, because like we can look back on some good times in our lives, like, oh, I wish I had some days back. But God will restore the feeling, you know, but in a better way. He can exceed the expectation. He will. He will. And Lord, we just thank you for wisdom. In the business realm, Father God, we just thank you for caring the husband to just open up to being innovative, just opening up to doing what hasn't been done the way that you're going to use them to do it. You know, that's nothing new under the sun. In business, it's supply and demand. You know, it's simple. You got something that somebody wants, or you got something that you feel people need. You know, and it's about making sure that a lot of people know about it and a lot of people want it, and they want to continue to get it consistently. You know, many times over. And you look at McDonald's, a business model, you know, ain't nothing special about the food now. You can hear all these reports about how bad McDonald's is and this, that, and the other. People talking about they bought a meal 30 years ago and left it in the closet and never moved it. But yet still, they say billion served daily, right? So just imagine that when you are presenting something righteous, something that ain't out here killing nobody, something that ain't out here putting your health in jeopardy, you know, how much more, how much greater yours would be. Yours would be far, far beyond what the world reaches towards. You know, because, yeah, the world, they do okay. Can't nobody outdo God. No system, no program you can go through to help you get the things that God has for you. And so we just thank God for you. Your husband just focusing on the businesses that God has for you and doing what God has for you and not just, you know, doing it for the money just because it's a good idea. There are a lot of great ideas out there. But we're not going to be slaves to money. We're going to use what God gives us to be stewards over His provision, good stewards. And so we just thank you, Lord, for those open doors of ideas. You know, and bringing forth those passions and those desires and blessing them bountifully through it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Glory. Thank you, guys.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Good stuff.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Next caller here is 480-637. Who are we speaking with?
It's Greg from Arizona.
Oh.
Hey, Greg, how are you tonight?
What's up, man?
Good. How are you?
Hanging in here.
Doing good.
All right.
Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Greg, Father God. We thank you for the slaying of the giants that you're going to use him, Father God, like you used David against Goliath. To take the giants down, it didn't take a intricate plan. It didn't take a army. It didn't take a lot of people that were strong and brave. It didn't take any armor or special swords. It didn't take any type of routes to catch him while he was asleep. It took wisdom and boldness and a rock. Something simple.
And yes.
Something that you can get off the ground. The wisdom, the boldness, the rock. That's it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to use Greg to take down the Goliaths. And it's not going to take all that extra. Because people are always thinking. We thank you, Lord, for our brains, but people are always thinking with us. Half the time, they're wrong. Because your ways are not like our ways, and your thoughts are not like our thoughts. And so when you tell people you're going to take something big down, like a system or people's ways of life or the way things are or laws, people think all these big grand ideas of how you are to take this down, you got to do all this. It just takes wisdom, boldness, and whatever weapon of choice. In David's case, it was something simple, a rock. And we know, Lord, that everything you do is for a reason and a purpose. That you showed us in the story of David and Goliath that it don't take much. It really just takes that wisdom and obedience. It's not about how big something is. It's about you can use anything to take something down that you want taken down. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're going to use Greg in his life even as an example, that it doesn't matter how big things are. Goliath was big for his time. They were sending whole armies. They couldn't take him down. David was not even some big old, you know, hot shot army general. He was a boy. So there was nothing about him where people said, oh, yeah, he's got it in the bag. He's going to take him down because he's so skilled and look at his indestructible armor, and he's got these, he's like a train killer, he's an assassin, or there was none of that. There was nothing about him to where in the natural it made any sense that he would be the one, especially single-handedly, to take Goliath down. And we know that story is in there, Father God, to show us how you operate. It takes a willingness. Obedience takes wisdom. And it takes using what you say to use, even when what you say to use makes no sense in the natural. So we thank you that you're going to use Greg to dismantle, to disable, to disarm, to destroy Goliaths that in the natural are huge. And people say, oh, we've been trying to do that for years, so we've just been letting it do what it does because nobody can take it down. Right, nobody can. No human body, but God can. So we thank you, Lord, that things are going to come down. Come down. Things are going to crumble. Things are going to cease to exist. The only proof that they will be there or have been there will be ashes. That he's going to take things down, systems, ways of life, thinkings, big things, that he's going to reduce them to ashes. To ashes. There could be a huge, beautiful, intricate building with stained glass windows and Italian marble and pillars and gold sinks, and that thing burns down. None of that stuff exists anymore. The only thing left is ashes. We don't know what it was anymore. But the ashes are just proof that it existed at some point. And that's how Greg is going to take these things down, which you're leading, God, to where you can't even see what it was no more. The only thing left is ashes that are proof that it was there at some point, but don't even know what it was, don't know the details of it anymore because it's been obliterated. It's just gone, just the ashes to blow off into the wind. The Goliaths. And give them the boldness to stand before these systems and these ways of thinking and all these big things that are causing a lot of trouble. That you've heard the cry of your people, Father God, and it's time to deliver them from these Goliaths, these judicial systems and laws and all this other garbage that has become so big, these monetary systems and ways that people do things that are completely unethical, but have been standing and have been in existence for years and years and years, that are so big that they become bigger than the people who even established them. And where people feel like that's just the way it is and they have to bow down to it. But we thank you, Father God, that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that Greg says, I'm not bowing down to this. I don't care what you threaten me with. Not going to bow. And that instead of bowing to it, he's going to throw whatever rock you have given him to throw at it so that it could come down and reduce it to ashes. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ooh. Sounds like calling fire down from heaven. Leave all that.
The Goliath, that means big stuff in comparison to, you know, because everything, like court systems, we're called for court systems, Terrence and I, and it feels so big because when you start to study these court systems, man, they are a mess. It is so for profit. It's crazy, whether it be the criminal court system or family one is just an abomination. But there's so many moving pieces and so many moving parts that it feels like, oh man, you know, it's like roaches. You kill one and there's 50 million more. Like it's just still so big, like you can't, you know, lay it out. But I mean, God is going to really revamp the court systems because they are like a Goliath. They're causing so much trouble in people's lives. But I see you really using, like God using you to take down systems, whether it be court systems, legal systems, I see financial systems, like just the way things are that are big that people feel like nobody can control. You know, I remember one time watching a documentary about Walmart and how it started and how they said something along the lines of Walmart became so big like a train that nobody could stop it. That even the people, you know, Sam Walton couldn't stop it, even if he had wanted to, because it just became bigger than everything else. That, you know, Walmart comes and it just, every little other store, there's a wrap, they go out of business and all this other kind of stuff. And they were talking about this train of Walmart, how Walmart is, how it operates and all that kind of stuff. And I remember seeing them like, huh, I've been thinking Walmart's unstoppable, but that's the way, you know, they think. And they're still around. I think I saw that documentary, it was like maybe 20 years ago or something like that, maybe 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things just really do feel big. It could be a corporation, a huge corporation that God's going to use you to take down. But it's not being taken down because of its size. It's going to be taken down because of its power and its destruction to the body of Christ. So just be ready. It takes a lot of trust and boldness to do that. I mean, sometimes I wonder if David was so bold because he was, you know, so young. As young people just have that boldness that as we get older, we get more rational, like, oh, wait, let me think this through. But, you know, when you're young, you're just like, hey, okay, I'm just going to go for what I know and just do it. But you have to have that same type of mentality, like, hey, I'm not going to put too much thought into this. God says it, I'm just going to do it and just watch that thing crumble. Watch it fall.
Yeah, plus it was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. When you have that Spirit of the Lord, I mean, you feel invincible. Invincible. So that's going to be you taking down these Goliaths. Big things. Big things. Well, people are going to say, are you crazy? Like, I don't even know why you would have put yourself in that path or put your name out there, you know, but by you putting your name out there and representing Christ, he gets all the glory. And people want to know who you are. They're going to want to talk to you. They're going to know what where you got your strength and all that, and you give God the glory. So just get ready. Get ready to take down those Goliaths.
Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, the giants got to fall. They got to come out the land, too. Come on, somebody. Did you have anything in particular you wanted prayer for?
Yeah, I've just been seeking God about my heart seems to have gotten a little hardened toward mm-hmm. things, and you know, and then God's presence in my life isn't what it used to be. And so I'm just like asking him to restore back to me, you know, what I used to walk in.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the heart transplant, Father God. Soften the heart of Greg, Lord. As we know, life can really harden you. Life can really cause you to be jaded. It can even cause bitterness. There's just so much that can happen as we live life. We experience things. We deal with people. We have hopes. Things don't pan out the way we want it to pan out. There's just all sorts of situations that are constantly thrown at us that we deal with daily, and it can definitely affect our perspective, and it can affect our heart, and it could affect how we feel. But Lord, restore his heart to be very tender and to put his trust and faith in you, Father God, even when people let him down, even when people don't come through, even when people lie, even when people back out and are flaky. Help them to still do what you call them to do, because it is very easy to feel some sort of way. And Lord, give him the knowledge and the understanding that your silence doesn't mean that you have left. It's taking him to another level. It's a trust thing, that you trust him. That just like when we are first dealing with a person, you know, there's lots of conversation because we're getting to know them. But as we know them, there's less talk because we know them. So we don't even have to ask sometimes, like, do you like this or you want to do this? Because we know them, so we know what they like. We know how they're going to respond. We know them. So the more silence that comes in is because we know them, that because the silence is actually an indication of the intimacy. And so help them to see that it's not a punishment. It's not a lack of closeness, that this is a proof of intimacy, that you it's a proof of more trust that you have in him, where you're still there, but he don't need you as much because you've put in him what he needs, and you trust him. You trust that he has wisdom. You trust that he's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, despite how he might feel in his heart, that even though he's feeling some sort of way, doesn't mean that he doesn't serve and love you. That it's a trust thing. And you're even showing him that he could trust himself, even when he's not feeling 100%. Even when he is feeling, you know, like, okay, I don't want to do this, or people get on my nerves, or whatever the case may be, that he could still trust that he's doing what needs to be done. He could trust that he's not making emotional decisions. He could trust that he could still feel that kind of way and be obedient. That he's not allowing his feelings to rule him, that he's just acknowledging that they are there. So we thank you, Lord, for this understanding that he's seeing how you operate in a different way. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when we need milk, you give us milk. But when we need meat, you give us meat. And when we get meat, you don't chop it up and cut it up and give it. You just give us the meat. Where when a baby needs milk, the mom or the dad or whoever's feeding it has to hold the bottle, and in order to hold the bottle, they have to hold the baby too. So there's a closeness that's there when they're being fed. Or when they're getting meat, you're not feeling that closeness because you're not being held to chew your steak, and you're not getting your meat cut up. You're giving the meat and trusted that you know how to cut it up and trust that you know how to chew it and swallow and eat it. But now it's more hearty. Now it's providing a different set of nutrients to you. And this is what you're doing, is there's a transition that's happening, but it's not a bad thing. The meat's being handed, but it feels like, okay, why is my father not holding me? Why do I not? But he's still there. And trusting, like, son, I know you can eat this meat. I wouldn't have given it to you if you didn't have teeth. I wouldn't have given it to you if you didn't know how to swallow. I wouldn't have given it to you if you didn't know how to cut it and eat it. That this is what's happening. It's a trust, and it's an advancement, but he's still there. You're still there, Father God.
Amen.
You're still there. So we thank you for that. Let that all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Ooh, I just learned on that meat thing. That sent chills down me. I'm like, oh, I never thought about that.
Preaching to yourself, huh?
Man, oh, my goodness. I remember going through that when, gosh, I was like, I can't remember how long I've been serving the Lord, but I'm still fairly new in it. But I remember just the Lord one day telling me, he's like, you're not going to feel me as close no more. And I was like, what? And I start rebuking that. That must be the devil talking to me. You know, I rebuke you, devil, and all this stuff. But it was really God. And I didn't. It's like I felt like he was like on me like a cape. And then I didn't feel like he was a cape no more. And I was like, Lord, what did I do wrong? Like, I'm so sorry. Please come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. But I grew so much during that phase of my life, and he never left. But what it was he was giving me that meat. You know, I didn't know then, but now. So as I was saying to you, I'm like, dang, that makes so much sense, because it's so true. You know, you hold your baby, you give them a bottle, and they feel that closeness and all that, and you give them meat, and you ain't holding them. So that's good stuff.
Good word.
Man, that was a good word. I thank God for it. Now, thank God
all
for
right,
you,
well,
and just trust that God he's working in you, and you're just going through, you know, you're going through life, you're experiencing what everybody experiences. I liken you to Moses. Every time you call in, I liken you to Moses, because he really had a tough call to be dealing with people. People are just, sometimes, you know, they're unruly. These people had manna given to them. These people, I'm not even talking about Joshua, Moses, these people saw the miracles of God. They saw plagues come on the Egyptians that did touch them. They saw the Egyptians lose the firstborn. They was able to leave with fine jewels and gold and all this kind of stuff. They saw Pharaoh's army chase them, and they got away. They saw the whole Red Sea parted and all this. And when Moses went up to the mountain to have a conversation with God on their behalf, they created a whole golden calf. Like, if that's not enough to be like, I cannot stand people, I'm not dealing with them people, like, that's how it is, though, when you're called for people, because people really be doing that. That God will be performing all these miracles and then they go right back to the stupidity. And you get frustrated like, dang, really? So you just go worship this whole golden calf. The minute I go up to the mountain, I can't even go to the mountain without y'all cutting up. Like, it really can cause a lot of different things. Just dealing with people in general, it can really cause that hardness. Life situations, people, all that can. So just that's totally normal. You know, it's a phase. It's like a season. But God is going to use it, and he uses everything to teach you about that. So when somebody comes to you and they're feeling that type of way, so some people don't want to admit that. You know, they don't want to say, oh, man, get on my nerves, or I'm feeling bitter, or my heart hard about this and all this kind of stuff. People don't want to admit that, but they need to, because if they don't admit it, they can't get no freedom from it. You'll ask somebody how they feel, and they'll give you a pat answer, I'm fine, everything's great. And then they say, you know, just pray for me, and not just pray some little, you know, generic prayer or whatever. But if you come and tell me my heart hard, or people get on my nerves, or I'm sick of this, that, and the other, now I could pray effectively for you. You know, people be missing their opportunity to have somebody touch and agree because they're too busy giving pat answers. Everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. Meanwhile, they broke and eat beans and beanie-weenie every night, and this person did something, disappointed them, and now they don't want to do nothing for nobody no more, and this happened over there, and this, that, and up, and they don't want to say nothing. So God's going to use even this season of your life to give you that understanding that only you can get through experience, so that when somebody else is going through it, there's no, you know, there's no judgment from you in a negative way. It's like, hey, this is part of life. You ain't never lived life before. This is all of our first time living life. All of us.
Yeah.
We're all trying to get it right. We're all trying to get it together. Nobody does something perfect that ain't ever done it before. None of us have ever lived a life before. I don't care what some of those teachings say, that, you know, reincarnation and all that. That's a bunch of crap. We have never lived life before. So we're all trying to get it together. We're all trying to get it right. And so God's going to use this so that when somebody comes to you and they're feeling defeated or feeling some sort of way, you can say, no, this is a life thing, but you're going to get past it, because I've been there, done that, and some things have come along with life, but we can overcome it. So just know that God is working that all out for your good too.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you very much for calling in. You know, we love you, and we're always praying for you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
You guys have a real good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye. Always a blessing talking to Greg. Next caller here is 828-989. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you tonight?
Struggling a little bit, but blessed.
Okay. Amen. That's honest. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just this night, Father God. We thank you for prior knowledge. Prior knowledge. Wow. It's like I see God really showing you things that you had prior knowledge of. It's like he's like revealing to you that he was there. It's like we go through things in our lives and we get to the other side of it. And then when we reflect, we be like, man, Lord, that was you. You was there right there too. You was there. You know, and it's like he begins to show you things leading up to that event. And he's basically, you know, like I was showing you. So basically you had prior knowledge of it, you know, And knowledge of something can be beneficial not only to you, but so many other people. But it's all about what you accept and, you know, and what you hold on to, what you gravitate towards, how you use it. Yeah. Well, just thank God for, like, this, the reassurance of letting you know that he's with you.
Mm-hmm.
He's with you. It'd be times when you feel like, man, I was on fire for God right here. You know, what happened to the fire, you know? He changes not. His love is still the same. His joy, his peace, he is who he is, and it's still the same, and will always be. So when we say the fire is once was, you know, who are we really talking about? So God, I really see God allowing you to have some very intimate talks with yourself, and really like opening up to you, you know, and you really searching yourself more, finding out more about you, about what you're capable of doing, what you can, do versus what you thought you couldn't do, based on prior knowledge. God is definitely going to move some things and work some things on your behalf during this season of your life, where it's not going to take much effort. It's just really God is testing to see if you would just, you're like, of course we have to be obedient, but it's like, what else, like with you, it's more proving, like, if you would just make up your mind, you know, like, just give him, like, the access, like, hey, yeah, okay, you know, like, do it, you know, having somebody, it's like having someone that has, exactly what you need. All they're saying is, hey, just let me know, but instead, you choose to, like, go without and go through all this pain and go through all of the other things that you had to go through when all you had to do was just ask, and your situation would have been fixed right then. You know, I just see God proving a lot to you and showing you some things during the season of your life. And we just thank God for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, that really spoke to me. And wow, I do need to ask more.
Yeah.
I do need. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
God needs our permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order for it to be done on earth as it is in heaven, God needs a laborer. He needs a willing vessel. He needs somebody that can give him access to the earth. He came and he redeemed man back unto themselves through Christ, right? So Christ gave God access. Through Christ, God himself had access to the world, right? To do these miracles and to do everything to be a sacrifice, you know, to raise from the dead. He had to have been here. He needed somebody to allow him access. And it's the same process with us as well, because it's our job to tell people how important Jesus is, and how people need Jesus in their lives, so their souls will be saved, and they won't spend eternity in hell, and spend eternity separated from God. That's our job, to tell the importance, you know. Because so many people don't know that, so many people are ignorant to it. And the Bible speaks of us, you know, perishing for the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of people are perishing because they know not what they're doing. And it's just our job as believers to sound the trumpet. But we first must believe that he is.
Right.
We want to tell somebody about somebody, hey, if you don't want to die, go to hell. You need to know who Jesus is. But then come down to your light bill, you're around here worried. Come down to rent or mortgage, a car note, a cell phone bill, a job. We worried. But we telling people to secure their soul salvation. The most important part of you, to trust in Jesus for that, but you won't trust him for nothing else. You won't trust him for your healing, your deliverance. Come on.
Yeah.
A lot of us, we look good. You know, from the out, but inwardly we're so torn. We got it all backwards. We know how to play the role and dress up as in the role. When you in the trenches, and it's time to fight, and it's time to be real with yourself and honest with yourself about it. You know. What is it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Between you and the Lord, that only you know. But I put it out there, you know, for a lot of people, you know, that's claiming this Jesus thing. You know, they claiming to be believers. I just find it hard to believe that. We would say, man, I want to trust this God for my soul, and I believed it. And that's easy and simple to you, but you can't trust him for your life plan here in the earth. You can't trust him to follow him on what he tell you to do while you're here. You can't trust him to take care of you and supply all your needs, but you can trust him to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the other stuff is small potatoes when it comes down to soul salvation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just look at all the other stuff. It's just like, you know, it's really wasteless conversation. Yeah, I'm gonna ask, you know, but what's the point? Like, if I ain't thinking it's gonna happen, what I'm asking for? If it got me all up in arms and worried and afraid, panicky and all of that. Well, we just thank God for the word. We thank God for the clarity and things just becoming extra clear for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you. God bless you both.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've talked to you guys. It's nice to hear you. Yeah.
I'm glad
we love you, and thank you.
You are welcome. We love you, too.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
That's our time, because we went a little over, but call back at 8:45, so about 10 minutes, hit one, it puts you in the queue. Randy will pray over you. He prays over everybody on Wednesday. Bless you. After he gives his word, pray for my husband. The allergies are flaring up, and our son, Gregory, his allergies are flaring up, so please pray for him healing. For me, too. Mine aren't as bad, but pray for all of us. Look at, okay, maybe they are that bad. Terrence has made a face. But we love you. I guess I am used to it. We love you. We're always praying for you. And until next time, good night, everyone.
Good night.